Newport, and online at 1037thebuzz.com.
The Zone at the Little Rock Touchdown Club is brought to you by Epic Health. Epic Health is real medicine practiced by real doctors and can help you feel like yourself again. Epic Health, on the web at epicmenshealth.com.
Second and 10 from the 11-yard line. Willie Matthews straight up the middle and runs into the end zone. Touchdown, UCA! He just blasted through a hole on the right side, and it's 14-9.
Welcome back to the Little Rock Touchdown Club. Thanks to our friends at Epic, and Phil Elson is here. Justin Akery, appreciate you. And Steve Sullivan, one of the highlights from the other night. Willie Matthews played outstanding football the other day, but was not to be for the Bears to lose by three. A little disappointing. Disappointed with the Hogs, of course. Phil, you want to wax on for a few moments about the Henderson State Reddies who roll again? I do want to give UAM credit, though, for putting up a pretty good fight.
Coach Jackson's got a much improved boll weevil club there. The Henderson State beat them 71-0 last year, and then it looked like they were getting out to another game just like that with a 24-0 lead in the first quarter and really built it up on defense. The Reddies tied a conference record with five interceptions, all of them in the first half, but they had trouble moving the ball the rest of the game, and really the Reddies focused a little bit more on the ground game. Kevin Rogers, for just the second time this season, did not throw a touchdown pass, did not make it over 200 yards passing. But the ground game was solid, and I think defensively they probably helped out UAM by committing a lot of penalties. The Reddies won by 14 points, but I'd say, I mean, they were penalized over 200 yards and still won the game, which is pretty rare. So I think that the Reddies also helped UAM stay in the game a little bit. But, I mean, they were on the record in 9-0 heading into the game against Southern Arkansas. And thanks to Southern Arkansas, by the way, for a win over Ouachita Baptist, and the Reddies clinched at least a share of the GAC championship, which they can win it outright if Ouachita loses this next week, or if they were to lose to the Reddies in the Battle of the Ravine, which is in 2 weeks.
Well, they're in a position where they're going to have to win out again, right? I mean, to host a game in the postseason, probably?
The way that they were fifth in the Super Region coming into this weekend, which would put them on the road, you know, in the first round. We would expect, because the teams ahead of Henderson had their schedule front-loaded with better opponents, and the Reddies' schedule is more back-loaded with Southern Arkansas and Ouachita, and they're a little bit high up on the pecking order. So I think that they'll have a chance to move up. The conference commissioner said that maybe three or four if they win out, which would host a game in the first round, but not getting a bye like they got last year. So, I mean, things are looking good for a playoff run. I think that they probably do need to win out, certainly, to get a home game and probably for a playoff berth, too. But having another great year, you know, this year's Henderson team, not quite as explosive offensively as last season. Then again, I mean, they did lose leading receiver Robert Jordan to that gruesome leg injury last week, which I know folks in Little Rock saw on some of the local coverage. I understand Robert was at the UAM game, by the way, so he's been able to get out of Arkadelphia and is still hoping to move forward in his football career, by the way. He's hoping to have, I think I heard, a pro day come March.
I guess we should give a game ball to the Florida State Seminoles for a couple of reasons. First of all, they beat their in-state rivals, well, one of their couple in-state rivals, Miami, 41-14 the victory. It was another impressive blowout victory by Florida State, and every test that they've had, they have passed with flying colors. Here's one of the highlights from Jameis Winston and the Seminoles rolling up Miami over the weekend.
I'm sorry, I didn't have you ready, Justin.
Okay.
I didn't see your message up there. So
that's okay.
Well, I mean, this is now twice that they've played a team in the top 10 and absolutely crushed them.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't even been close.
Well, okay, here we go. Maryland in the top 25 and destroyed them as well. But, yeah, here's a little Jameis Winston for you.
Shotgun formation. Jameis Winston gets the snap. Wants to throw the ball. He gets to the lane. Blitz. Gets the pass. Got a convoy to the left side. Devontae Freeman. 45 to the 40. Near sideline. Outside the number. To the 30. To the 30. 25 to the 20. To the 10 to the 5. Touchdown, FSU. Screen pass play. Devontae Freeman takes it to the house. What a play.
So Florida State third in the Harris, third in the coaches, and previously third in the BCS. Now number two in the BCS poll, in the current poll that came up. So they jump Oregon. Now, Oregon, of course, a huge test and a huge benefit if they can knock off number five Stanford on Thursday night. It's a short week, of course, and I believe that game is being played in Oregon, so I give Stanford basically no chance at all to win the game.
Really?
Am I stupid? Maybe I am. I don't know.
Stanford's not bad, but you know, I don't know if they're necessarily at the level of Oregon right now.
I would guess in the history of college football, there have never been two teams both ranked in the top 10 or two games with all four teams ranked in the top 10 playing each other in a Thursday night.
It's like January 1st used to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you've got Oklahoma number 10 playing Baylor number 6 this weekend. And I need to check where those games are this week, but it is a I actually tweeted this out the other day about how awesome this Thursday was going to be, and then you get this kind of garbage this garbage game from an NFL standpoint. So you get Oregon at Stanford, Oklahoma's at Baylor. So Oregon is on the road, which makes it a little more entertaining. When you've got, again, I've talked about it 100 times, I'll say it again. When you're a road favorite on a Thursday night short week,
yeah,
it becomes a bit more difficult. Now, Stanford and Oregon, I believe, were both off this last week, so it is a little bit lessened because you get a little extra time to work. Oklahoma at Baylor, and I didn't see what those two teams, I'm sure they were both off last weekend, so that will not be as big an advantage either. But I like Baylor. I certainly like Oregon. I don't care where they play that game. And then the NFL game looks a little more entertaining. Minnesota continues to be competitive and continues to lose. If you missed the highlight yesterday, what a run by Adrian Peterson to get into the end zone. It was not enough, though, as they lose. And then Washington and Robert Griffin III, certainly a much better performance yesterday, and they get a victory. So congratulations to them. But, again, you get two games, where all four teams are in the top 10 of the BCS playing each other on Thursday night this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, oh, for a good measure, you also get number 13 LSU playing at number 1 Alabama on Saturday. So it is a lot of good football this weekend.
Both Baylor and Oklahoma, by the way, just to pitch that game a little further, both coming off bye week, so they'll be rested and ready to go.
Well, Stanford and Oregon, too. So I think all four of those teams are coming off bye weeks last weekend. So
programmers knew what they were doing.
What time is that game? 6:30 on Fox Sports 1. That's right. FS1 finally became relevant. Only took them about 2 months to do it.
I saw where they're going to be hosting division series games, baseball division series games next year on Fox Sports 1, moving one of the division series over there. So they're getting they need to get that kind of programming if they're going to become relevant.
The only chance. Now the question becomes, can they do anything with their daily, you know, programming, mm-hmm, as far as their, you know, their game day stuff, so, or their kind of sports center-ish stuff, or whatever you want to call it.
They wouldn't like you saying that.
I know. I don't know how else to phrase it. Their daily sports update shows.
Yes, their sports morning shows.
Yeah, their sports morning, midday, afternoon, and evening shows.
The stuff that gets rerun 7 times.
Right, exactly. So I don't like their talent, most of it. So anyway.
I saw, speaking of their talent, and you know, the and Aaron Andrews. Let me give a jockstrap to Aaron Andrews.
Please do.
And I knew that you would like that because
not a fan.
She misidentified essentially the president of the American League is Jackie Autry, who used to be the owner of the Los Angeles Angels. She's Gene Autry's wife, and when she always gives away the American League trophy to the champion, and when she did that this year for the Boston Red Sox, she identified Jackie Autry as her late husband.
Hmm.
Which
Gene?
Gene. She called her Gene.
That'd be tough.
Gene Autry, which is not very, it's not very good.
Well, they both have unisex names. You know any chicks named Gene?
No.
I know some dudes named Gene. I don't know any chicks named Gene.
I do know a guy.
Eugene. What if it was short for Eugene?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it was for Gene Autry, but not for his wife.
Eugenia. I don't know. Keith Lee Service Coming Live Fan Feedback, Kenny and Little Rock. Game ball to Dennis Johnson. I missed it. What did he do? Is he still with the Texans?
I don't know what he did.
I'll have to look at that.
You got to explain Kenny, it a little bit, man.
Yeah, Kenny, I have a lot of things on my plate. You'll have to fill me in. You got to give me a couple details. Sorry, I'm totally ignorant. Jason and Bryant, Justin, my first thought after the faked injury was that Bielema was jabbing Malzahn by calling a swing gate play, and then Malzahn jabbed back with a faked injury. That's pretty funny. I hope that's what happened because that adds such another nice layer to that little budding rivalry. Bones and Cabot, jockstrap Dez Bryant acting like an idiot. It almost cost the Cowboys. I would say jockstrap Dez Bryant being Dez Bryant.
Yeah, just going all Dez Bryant.
Yes. Dez Bryant went to the Rasheed Wallace School of Conduct. He might want to tone it down. It is a negative. And again, I say this all the time about people like him. When you're that talented, you don't need that other crap. You're so good. You just don't need it. Why you do that? Stop doing that. Jockstrap to Anthony Swain, says Bones and Cabot. Faking injury? Maybe so. Wyatt and Panky. I thought I had... Ty Hilton on the Colts defense on my fantasy team last night. I was watching the Texans game with a friend. I told him I wasn't even going to check the score anymore. The halftime ended, and Al Michaels said Kubiak was gone, and Wade Phillips would coach the second half. I looked at my buddy, smiled, and said, the Colts have a chance. Indeed they did. Congratulations to them.
Anybody, any Texans fans cheer when Kubiak was carried off the field?
Yeah, I don't think so. That was a scary moment, man. We had two coaches go down with what appeared to be heart attack type symptoms. Neither guy diagnosed with a heart attack. John Fox, it happened, I think, on Saturday, so it got lost a little bit in all the hoopla over the college games that were going on. But he also had some health issues over the weekend, so scary stuff.
I think they're going to name Jack Del Rio coach, and he's going to be the coach probably the next month to 6 weeks.
Kylan Sherwood, I know Derby was recruited as a linebacker by other schools but went here to play quarterback. Does anyone know if he is a good linebacker? We need help at that position, and his future is obviously not a quarterback. That's a fair point, Kyle.
But the problem is that one other school wanted to change him, wanted to keep him at linebacker. He said, I want to play quarterback. That's why I ended up at Arkansas. He doesn't want to be a linebacker.
But, yeah, that's fine. Well, I want to be president of the United States, and I want to be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Neither of those things are going
to
happen.
I understand that, but he's not up for it.
There has to be a realistic conversation, and I'm sure that'll happen after the season. It's like, look, dude, we all know what's going on here, and frankly, this ain't going to work out.
Start a letter writing campaign.
So you can play defensive end or linebacker or something else. You just can't. You can even try to play tight end, although we got 19 of those, but you can't play quarterback anymore. Sorry, homie.
Not going to.
Nope. Now, the good thing about all the other positions I mentioned, you don't have to take a snap or throw a pass. Yeah.
Doesn't matter your arm strength, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, look, there are very few things I'm sure about. I am sure that A.J. Derby's not the answer at quarterback. So, but you know what? They need him to stay there till the end of the season.